You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Ricker. Tensions between police and minority communities have been at the center of the news over the last year. There have been protests around the country, from the police-involved shooting in Ferguson, Missouri, to today's funeral in Baltimore of a man who died in police custody. And Wisconsin has seen protests, too, over police-involved shooting deaths in Milwaukee and Madison.
These and other incidents have led to allegations of institutional and individual racism and led to calls for changes in the way police and minority members interact. Our next guest is focused in on one interaction in particular, the traffic stop.
His research finds major racial disparities in particular kinds of traffic stops, and that there are major lessons to be learned from these encounters between the police and the public.
Charles Epp joins us now. He's a professor of public affairs and administration at the University of Kansas, and he's co-author of Pulled Over, How Police Stops Define Race and Citizenship. Chuck, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here, Rob.
So why are traffic stops an important place to examine racial disparities in policing?
Traffic stops are one of the most important interactions between officials of the state, you might say, and members of the public. And in traffic stops, we see ongoing tensions between police officers and, in particular, minority racial groups. What we did in our study was to survey members of the public, drivers in particular, about their experiences in police stops. And the survey results were especially revealing about these racial tensions.
Yeah, what did you find? You keyed in an area around Kansas City, similar findings in other places around the country. What did you find when you surveyed drivers?
Yeah, what we did was to ask drivers whether they'd been stopped by the police in the past year. And that gave us an indication of who is being stopped and for what reason. Then we asked drivers to tell us what happened during the stop. For example, were they given a ticket? Were they searched? Were they handcuffed? Were they arrested? And so forth. And we also asked them, how did the officer speak to you? Was he or she respectful? Was he or she sarcastic, professional, and so on? And from all of those questions, we found something really quite striking, and it was this. There are really two different kinds of police stops that people experience. On the one hand are what we call ordinary traffic safety stops. These are stops in which the officer has observed the driver going 10 or 15 miles over the speed limit and simply wants to sanction that bad driving behavior. In that kind of a stop, the officer walks up to the vehicle, announces the purpose of the stop, and then pretty quickly returns with a ticket and lets the driver go, and it's all over in just a few minutes. The other kind of stop is quite different from start to finish. We call these investigatory stops. In these stops, the officer walks up to the vehicle, and if they announce a reason for the stop, it's commonly a very small technical violation. So, for example, 2 or 3 miles over the speed limit, failing to signal a lane change long enough before you've made that lane change, a burned out license plate light or something like this. But very quickly, the officer moves on to ask the driver what the driver almost inevitably regards as pretty intrusive questions. What are you doing in the neighborhood? Where are you going? Oh, you're going to work? Well, then you wouldn't be carrying any drugs on you, would you? No. Well, then would you mind if I search your vehicle? These investigatory stops are criminal investigations from start to finish. And here's the striking thing. We found that in traffic safety stops, black drivers are no more likely than whites to be stopped. They're no more likely than whites to be given a ticket. They're no more likely than whites to be searched. But in this second category of stop, investigatory stops, black drivers are nearly 3 times more likely to be stopped than whites. And they're 5 times more likely to be searched. They're dramatically more likely to be handcuffed than whites. But quite surprisingly, they are far less likely than whites to be found in a search carrying contraband or an illegal weapon. So racial disparities in stops are concentrated in this second type of stop. So how common is it? We found in this survey that half of the stops reported to us by black drivers in the past year are this sort of investigatory stop. So it's incredibly common. And the experience, in fact, is quite painful and sometimes traumatic for black drivers. In fact, several of the drivers told us that they felt violated in one of these stops, even though the officer never laid a finger on them.
Talking to Charles Epp from the University of Kansas, talking about race and traffic stops. You just heard the basics there. Four cause, a safety violation, speeding, running red lights, not much racial disparity. For investigatory, what he calls investigatory stops, looking for something, drugs, say, a really big disparity in who gets stopped, white versus black. So talk some more about these investigatory stops. Are these things that are pretty common around the nation, these, in effect, fishing expeditions to try to find drugs or other illegal possessions?
Yeah, in fact, this is a very common practice across communities across the country. One of the elements of our study was to look at police training materials and professional guidances from police professional associations. Since the early 90s, these sorts of materials have encouraged officers to make these kinds of stops for the purpose of fighting crime, getting drugs off the street, getting guns off the street, and so forth. And they frankly talk about them as, for example, one training manual said, it's a numbers game. You have to stop a lot of people to generate the numbers that will yield some hits, some drugs found, some guns taken off the street. So this is very common. Nearly every study of police stops across the country over the past 10 to 15 years has found that black drivers are more likely to be stopped than white drivers. And our study clearly shows that this problem is concentrated in this practice of investigatory stopping.
Well, I want to get into two big questions here. Does this work, first of all, and what's the damage of this happening? Let's start with the effectiveness. If this is working, if we're finding lots of people carrying illegal drugs, legal guns, as you say, is it worth it?
It's a good question. The police in many communities are quite convinced that it works. The evidence supporting that assumption is pretty thin, I have to say. There was one study done, in fact, in the Kansas City area in the early 1990s, that concluded that there was some evidence to show that these stops improve the safety in neighborhoods by getting guns out of the neighborhoods. But every study since then that has tried to replicate that finding has failed. The second observation to make about the effectiveness issue is that the vast majority of people who are stopped in this way are in fact found to have nothing illegal on them, no drugs, no illegal weapons. And so the vast majority of people subjected to these stops are in fact innocent, and you're not removing contraband, you're not removing weapons with these stops. One very interesting study of stop and frisk in New York City, for example, found that the hit rate, the rate at which guns or drugs were found in these kinds of stops, was in fact lower than the hit rate in random stops, the random roadside check for alcohol, for example. That is a pretty dismal record of effectiveness.
So let's talk about the damage. As we said up front, we're having this conversation in the context of protests, police-involved shootings, a lot of tension between minority communities and police departments around the state. We're following the news in Baltimore today even. Does what you're studying, what you're talking about here, this disproportionate amount of investigatory traffic stops for racial minorities, does that play a role in this distrust, in this tension?
It's very clear that there has been greater distrust among African Americans toward the police than whites toward the police for decades now. We wanted to find out exactly that question, find the answer to it. Do these stops contribute to that distrust? And what we found was, yes, they do, very directly. The experience of an investigatory stop in the past year was the most impactful, the most significant influence on a driver's distrust for the police. Even when you take into account how respectful is the officer toward the person stopped, clearly people want to be treated respectfully. But even when the officer was very respectful, impeccably professionally polite during the stop, if the stop was one of these investigatory stops, intrusive questions, search, and so forth, the driver left feeling, as I said earlier, violated and ended up feeling much less trusting of the police over time.
We're talking to Chuck Epps from the University of Kansas. He stays with us to talk about racial disparities in traffic stops. He looks into the issue in the book Pulled Over, How Police Stops Define Race and citizenship.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you see this playing out in your community? Racial minorities singled out for more police attention. What do you think of policies like stop and frisk or traffic stops aimed at finding evidence of crimes as opposed to getting pulled over for a safety violation? If you're a member of a minority community, do you feel like you're the target of police attention? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@WPR.org.
We'll continue the conversation after a look at the news with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We continue our conversation about racial disparities in police traffic stops. Charles Epp stays with us. He's a professor of public affairs and administration at the University of Kansas and co-author of the book Pulled Over, How Police Stops Define Race and Citizenship.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you think minority members are unfairly targeted for police attention on the road in your community? Have you experienced this? And if you're in law enforcement, what is your perspective on this issue? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Before we get to our callers, Chuck, I wanted to ask about the why of this. I mean, I assume police policies aren't saying pull over more African-Americans or Latinos. There's accusations that this is individual elements of racism from police. There's people say, no, it's institutional. What leads to this disparity?
That's a great question. Two things lead to this. One is the common targeting of particular areas of town, commonly called high crime areas, by the police for a lot of these kinds of stops. The second is what social psychologists call the process of implicit racial stereotyping. Most of us have in our heads, even if we're not avowed racists, and that's increasingly rare in American society, most people have implicit negative stereotypes associated with race. And officers are no different than the rest of us in that regard. When they're out looking for people who look suspicious, those stereotypes almost inevitably lead them to be somewhat more likely to stop African Americans, especially young African Americans, and especially young African American men than white people.
Let's get to our callers now. We've got Morgan on the line in Lafarge. Morgan, hi.
Hi. I don't really think it's just a race thing as much as it's also an age thing, because in certain communities that I've lived in when I was younger, I know I was targeted because of my age, you know, between like 16 and 20. And then as you know, time went on, you know, that attention from the police definitely changed because of probably the way I looked. So I think that's kind of like a multiplier.
Morgan, thanks a lot. And you had just mentioned, Chuck, black men, especially young black men, more prone. Is there an age element alongside the race disparities that you found in these traffic stops?
Yes, absolutely. The caller raises a great question, makes a great observation. In fact, younger people are more likely to be subject to these stops. Young white men are more likely to be subject to these stops than older white men. What is striking, what we found, so we controlled for age. We took that into account. What is striking is that young white men become far less subject to these stops by the time they turn about 30. African-American men have to reach the age of 50, by our survey results, to have the same exposure to these stops as an under 30 white guy. So age clearly plays a role, and as the caller says, it compounds the other influences, but race is the dominant one. Black people are more exposed to these stops than other people.
Morgan, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Dave in Milwaukee. Dave, hi.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. I'm a white man, but my wife and I had adopted my son, who is 5 months old, who's black, and I've had this happen to the two of us. I pull into a convenience store, he runs in, gets a pack of cigarettes, comes out, we go down the road, all of a sudden I'm pulled over by a squad asking me, what are you doing here? I said, well, driving. Where were you? Friend's house. You know, we were patted down, and then when they looked at both of our driver's license, see, they had the same last name, they realized it was father and son, but, you know, we were patted down.
Dave, is this something you happened before you were driving around with an African-American youth?
Oh, yeah. I can tell you episode after episode where just shopping. My son was three, and all of a sudden I had a floor walker following me. I never had one before, you know, but I had a three-year-old walking my son, walking around with me. Hmm. And so it really got me peeved, so I went around the whole store and filled the basket full and then stopped it. Went back to the guy and said, hey, you've been following me around. You know where this stuff goes. But, oh, yeah, my son's called me, too. They've been pulled over for no other reason than my son was, there was a black youth in a car.
Dave, thanks a lot for the call and sharing your experiences. Charles, something you've probably heard similar things to in your research.
Yeah, in fact, so the book has gotten a fair bit of publicity, as you can imagine, since last August. And I've been doing talking. I get a fair number of emails from people around the country on this subject. And what is striking is the pattern precisely that this caller mentioned. White parents who have adopted an African-American child who, when that child becomes an adolescent or a teenager, start seeing this experience graphically. So for the first time in their lives, they experience, in a way, vicariously what it's like to be African-American on the streets in America.
We were talking about racial disparities in traffic stops with Charles Epp, professor at the University of Kansas, author of the book Pulled Over, How Police Stops Define Race and Citizenship. Well, a worst case in one of these happened recently in a confrontation in South Carolina. Ultimately, someone pulled over, a black man shot by a police officer who has been indicted. Do these encounters provide more opportunity, more chance of that kind of outcome?
Yes, undoubtedly so. Not by any deliberate intent on the part of officers, I must say, but in these stops, there are inevitably some tensions between the driver and the officer, in part because the driver typically feels a bit indignant over the experience. Now, I want to emphasize that we heard again and again and again from our survey respondents, it's very clear that they try not to respond in any way that might provoke an officer to think that they're in danger and to provoke them to use force. Nonetheless, drivers do feel indignant. Officers in making these stops recognize this and so are a bit more careful as they approach the vehicle. Sometimes those tensions, by intent of neither side, do spiral out of control. So this type of stop is certainly, you might say, the context or the occasion for unexpected tragedies like what happened in North Charleston, South Carolina.
Now, sometimes a response to these kind of encounters is, oh, the driver needs to behave a certain way or the police officer needs to behave in a certain way to defuse these situations. I believe your book recommends something different. You're looking to get rid of these investigatory stops wherever possible.
Yeah, we think that inevitably there will be tensions if you have a practice, an ongoing practice as a department of making lots of these stops. And the only way ultimately to address those tensions is to reduce the use of these stops to the situations, the exceptional situations, where you really need to make some stops. For example, if there is a serious crime that's just happened in a neighborhood, it may possibly be the case that you need to make some investigatory stops in response to that. But what police departments do instead is to use these in a broad scattershot kind of way, and that inevitably produces tensions, and the only way to reduce those would be to reduce the use of these stops.
Well, now, outside of the stops, as we said a couple times, there's a lot of tension here over police-involved shootings. You actually got your PhD here in Wisconsin. You know we've had a couple issues in Madison and Milwaukee, going back to Ferguson, Missouri. Is this conversation we're having about racial disparities in police stops part of this climate that's going to make this sort of these sort of tragic incidents, this sense of confrontation happen in the United States?
I don't know that the conversation will make these tragedies more likely, if that's the question. I think, in fact, actually, the conversation may well be the first chance that we have nationally to seriously address the underlying source of the tensions, which in part, as I say, is the ongoing practice of these stops. I'm finding now, I'm pretty closely connected to professional police departments in this area. They are seriously having conversations at the highest levels in American policing now about how to deal with this problem. One proposal is to train officers to be much more polite in making these stops. Many departments recognize that that may not be quite enough, and so they're starting to have a conversation about reducing the use of these stops. That's a good thing.
Chuck, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm glad to have been here. Thanks.
That's Charles Epp. He's a professor of public affairs and administration at the University of Kansas. He is co-author of the book Pulled Over, How Police Stops Define Race and Citizenship. He joined us to talk about police, minority communities, and racial disparities when it comes to traffic enforcement, especially stops called investigatory stops aimed at finding drugs, illegal guns, and other criminal activity.